Well, grace, mercy, and peace be upon you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, by show of hands, how many of you have already done your Christmas shopping? Go ahead. How many of you are waiting? How many of you will wait until December 23rd? Go ahead, you can own that. It's okay. Yes, some of us are feeling the pressure to get gifts now. There's all kinds of supply chain issues, and will it be there? I know that it's creating a certain kind of pressure for us not to wait, but to get it done early. Well, I'm about to say something that's potentially going to get me in some hot water. I recognize that what I'm about to say, I'll probably have some conversations in the narthex afterwards, email from a few of you. Some of you are going to slide into my DM. Some of you are going to tweet about it later. That's just the reality. But here it is. You ready? It's not Christmas yet. It's not Christmas yet. We're waiting for Christmas. Christmas will come. That is for certain, but it's not Christmas yet. This season between now and Christmas is a season of waiting. And friends, it is worth the wait. You know, in 1972, Walter Mischel, who was a professor at Stanford University, led what would later become known as the Stanford Marshmallow Test. It was an experiment and a test designed to try to understand instant or delayed gratification. And in 1972, and even later when they performed this again in the early 90s, the experiment is quite simple and the results are quite stunning. But if you ask me, it's the process that is the most fun. So take a look at the screens and we'll get the marshmallow test for us. Waiting is difficult. It's super hard. I know that lots of us can relate to the feelings shown on the faces of these particular kids. My favorite, of course, is the kid who has the marshmallow like halfway in his mouth and then contemplates it for a second, then takes it back out and puts it on the plate. Like, I didn't do it, right? Waiting is hard. However, waiting has something to teach us. And friends, waiting, when we wait, it is worth the wait. Now, we are in the middle of a series called Abiding with Jesus, and we are getting up close and personal with Jesus so that we can better learn to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're getting up close and personal with Jesus so that we can love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. We're getting up close and personal with Jesus so that he can form us and shape us in faith so that he can spiritually develop us for this life on this earth. Now, one of the ways that the church throughout history has thought about this formation and about this shaping and about this development is to shape a year, a calendar year that is designed by the life of Christ. And that year is often called the church year or the liturgical year. And this church year has many different seasons in it, and with those seasons, different themes. And the church has been practicing the church year, the liturgical year, for hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, there are lots of churches today around the world who still allow the church year to shape and to form their worship together. And so this morning, and really for the remainder of our series, Abiding with Jesus, we will intentionally be using the church year as a backdrop or a filter so that our lives can be shaped by this ancient practice of the church, developing us as we sit in this year, a year that's been designed by the life of Christ. And so here we are at the new year. Happy New Year! You're still not convinced. That's awesome. This is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the new year. And Advent, as we said at the beginning, is a season that is marked by waiting. by anticipation, a season of light that slowly and methodically breaks the darkness. It is a season of slowing down so that we can take stock of what really is. But this kind of waiting, this kind of practice, this kind of slowing down is quite difficult for those of us who live in a Black Friday culture, right? For those of us, right, who can buy now and pay later, it's hard in a culture that says, eat your marshmallow right now. Waiting is hard. And it is, friends, this season of Advent, the season of waiting, is countercultural. And so today we're going to dig into a text that potentially, for lots of us who grew up in and around the church, potentially feels somewhat out of place. I'm wondering actually how many of you thought, like, Pastor really is off his rocker. Like, first the new year, and then this gospel text, which most often we hear when? Around the season of Easter, usually on Palm Sunday, on the Sunday immediately before Easter, where Jesus enters into Jerusalem like a king, right? A king who's coming on a donkey. And so why in this season are we digging into a text that normally happens in the Easter season? It's a great question. So we're going to dig into it. You'll want to grab a Bible, either digitally, one that's in the pew for you, the one that you brought, that's fine. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to begin at verse 28. Luke 19, beginning at verse 28. Now, as you're finding that, a couple of things to note. Since about chapter 9, Luke 9, about verse 51, Jesus has had his face, Luke says it this way, Jesus' face is resolutely set to Jerusalem. Those are the words of Luke. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Luke says, Jesus' face is resolutely set towards Jerusalem. Quite simply, if I could say it another way, it's that Jesus is on a mission. A single-minded, soul-purposed mission, and it's been this: to enter into Jerusalem as the king and to rescue her from her enemies. And so finally, in Luke then 19, it's finally arriving, and it's arriving to the shouts of a crowd that say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, so much of what Jesus has been doing in the Gospels has been preparing, actually, for these moments. Since the beginning of his ministry, Jesus has been proclaiming the coming kingdom of God. And through the miraculous, has been fulfilling the words of the prophets long ago. Fulfilling words like Isaiah when he says, he will come to heal the broken, Jesus has been doing. To release the captives, again, Jesus has been releasing those captive to physical and spiritual ills. Isaiah says he will bring light into the darkness. Jesus has been doing that, bringing light into the darkness of people's lives. You see, from the beginning, Jesus has been turning the world upside down. And now, Luke chapter 19, Jesus is standing basically at the Mount of Olives with this beautiful view of Jerusalem and the temple. And he's ready to come fully into his own. And so here we are in this text. Jesus sends some of his disciples into a village ahead of him to find there a colt that is tied. And if the owners of the colt ask, what are you doing? You tell them the Lord needs it. And so those disciples go, they begin to untie the colt. As fate would have it, they're like, what are you doing? And they're like, the Lord needs it. They're like, okay. And so they bring the colt back to Jesus, where they begin to spread their cloaks on the road. Jesus rides on this donkey, bringing to mind for all of the people gathered there, Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9 says this, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. So here, Luke 19, Jesus enters into Jerusalem as a king. Now, verse 37, here's what it says. It says, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the miracles they had seen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You see, everybody there, everybody knows that the king is coming to town. It is the moment that they have been waiting for. Even the Pharisees do their best to quiet the jubilee of the disciples, and yet they're met with Jesus' reply when he says, I tell you that even if they were to keep quiet, all of the stones would cry out. See, finally, after 19 chapters, finally, Jesus will ascend the throne in power and authority, and he will rout the enemies of Israel. Now, the funny thing is, if we were to fast forward from here, from Luke 19 into the rest of Luke, we'd see Jesus enter into the temple. He would clear it, right, so that it became a place of prayer and formation rather than a place of selling and degradation. He would be questioned by multiple people about a host of topics, from taxes to the resurrection. He gives warning to those who would listen about the pernicious teaching of the scribes. He talks about the temple coming down. But Jesus, interestingly, Jesus never ascends the earthly throne. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and the time has finally arrived for Jesus to come into his own, to come as the king and to ascend the throne, and he doesn't. At least not immediately. You see, the disciples and the world would have to wait. And waiting is hard. But when we wait, it's worth it. You see, the season of Advent is a season of waiting. And waiting, church, waiting is good for you and for me. Now, I get that most of us don't like to wait. Most of us want our marshmallow right now. I get it. But it is good for us. In a time and a season and a culture when I can purchase almost anything I want to by double-clicking or by sliding my thumb across my phone, this is a beautiful opportunity to weigh the impulse, buy with maybe long-term financial goals. Waiting's good for us. Said differently, if we don't learn to wait, we can allow ourselves to assume that one thing is as good as another thing. That one thing is as good as another thing. You see, the disciples in our text today were ready to see Jesus ascend the throne. Yes, it was an earthly throne. And while that is good, it's not nearly as good as Jesus ascending a heavenly throne, with power and authority, who's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. You see, ascending an earthly throne is good for Israel, but ascending a heavenly throne is good for the world. Ascending an earthly throne routs the enemies of Israel, but ascending a heavenly throne routs the enemies of humanity, of sin, of death, and the devil. You see, the disciples in this moment would be forced to wait so that they could see the difference between the things that don't matter and the things that do. See, waiting, church, is good for us because waiting allows our senses to be honed. Waiting allows us time to slow down and to reflect. Waiting and reflecting allow us to distinguish between the things that are good and better and best for us. The earthly throne of Jesus was a good thing, but the heavenly throne of Christ is the best thing. See, waiting is good for us because it hones our senses, helps us delineate between the things that matter and the things that don't matter. For you and me, the season of Advent is to remind us what we're waiting for. It's to remind us of what we're waiting for so that as we go through a life too busy with things that don't matter, we remember the things that do matter. Advent, this season of waiting and slowing down and preparation, Advent relieves us of our commitment to a frantic pace of life. It slows us down. It tells us to just wait. Friends, it's worth the wait. It's interesting, I think the disciples in our text today were so focused on the future, so focused on what was coming, so focused on a Jesus who would ascend the throne, so focused on a king who would rout the enemies, namely Rome of Israel, so focused on what was to come that they failed to focus on what they had in the present. I wonder how many of us in this season are so focused about the future. We're so ready to get to Christmas when the Christ child will take on flesh and dwell in our midst. I wonder how many of us are so focused on the future of making sure that there are presents under the tree that we're not focused on being present. Present in the moment. Present with the relationships there in the room with us. So focused on what we have to do 4 weeks from now that we're not even in the room. See, waiting and slowing down and taking time to reflect, it hones the senses. Not just so that we can pay attention to Christ coming, that matters. But if we're so focused on Christmas, on Christ coming as a baby, we'll miss, church, that Christ comes right now. In his word, as it's taught, as it's preached, as it's shared in homes, as it's given in prayers, we miss that God comes here, Jesus comes now in a meal that we will share in bread and wine. If we're so focused on the future, we miss the present. See, waiting is hard. We want our marshmallow now. But if we wait, then we get two. And we can shove them in our mouth at the same time. It's worth the waits. Waiting has a lot to teach us. Someone this morning very, very innocently asked me why the Christmas trees aren't up in the sanctuary yet. Do you know what I told them? It's not Christmas. It's not Christmas yet. But I did say, like, listen, I don't want a rebellion in this place. And so they're coming. They are coming. Don't worry. The sanctuary will be decorated in preparation from Christmas. But you'll notice this year, if you're astute, if you slow down, if you pay attention, if you reflect a little bit, that the decorating of this space will come slowly, little by little by little by little. And eventually we'll get to Christmas when the sanctuary will be fully decorated and we will celebrate a Christ child who comes. But like the Advent wreath, It's slow in coming because it has something to teach us. And so we wait. And like Isaiah, who says, when we wait, strength will rise in you and me, and ultimately we will have wings like eagles, and for we will soar on the Spirit. So friends, in this season, let us slow down. Let's reflect. Let's wait so that we can see what is right in front of us. To God be the glory. Amen? Amen. And so may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard, may it keep our hearts in Christ Jesus today and every day. Amen.